Thank the Lord for the first message from Brother Seymour. What great preaching he done. Amen. And Brother Leatherman. Praise God, he showed out. And then Brother Fellers, New Yorker from North Carolina. What a preacher. Amen. All I can tell you about Brother Fellers, if you get sick, go preach for him. Don't let him give you any red liniment. Please. My Lord. It's awesome. He gave me a bottle to take home with me. So when I got home, I put it on the shelf. I was talking to him, and he said he didn't have any. So I saved it and gave it to him when I went back. Because I knew I wasn't going to take any. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? I thought about the young lady while ago that testified. Teenager. This is the highlight of her year. What an awesome responsibility she's laid on us men of God. This is a weighty thing. When you think what somebody like that has said about the camp meeting, I hope it has changed my whole attitude about everything. Amen.
Amen.
God knows we need something. We do need God to break through and breathe on these places. And the Holy Ghost move in an unusual way in our midst. We really need revival to break out in America. And 90% of the churches, when you get through preaching, you give the altar call, probably 95% of the ladies come to the altar, and 0.5% of men. What we need in America is a revival of manhood. We need God to help us men to be all that we can be for Him. I hope every one of us tonight will bear in our minds that God has saved us for a purpose. And a reason. I hope before the night's over, we'll get an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, here I am. Take me and use me. Luke chapter 5 tonight. Luke chapter 5. I don't have to worry about the time. Brother Fellers told everybody I was going to preach long, and everybody didn't want long preaching left. So it's all right now, amen. But I'm not a long preacher anymore, I don't think. Luke chapter 5, if you stand with me, please, in reverence to the reading of the King James Bible. I want to begin reading in verse 17 of Luke chapter 5. Very true and powerful story in the Word of God. The Bible said it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which would come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, 'Thy sin be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Our fathers, we bow to you tonight. We thank you for the great privilege you've given to us to open the Word of God. I ask you to add your blessings to the reading of it. Lord, ask you for the anointed power of God upon preaching. Lord, as somebody has already said, without you we can do nothing. And so, Lord, as we bow tonight, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God might take the preaching of the Word and move through this congregation. Speak to every heart. God, may you lay burdens upon our hearts, and may you do something to draw us close to you. Would you tonight begin a work that we can't stop? God, have your way, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Look back in verse 26, the last part. We have seen strange things today. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on a strange meeting. We've had so many dead, dull, dragged, defeated services that if any old sinner come in the house of God and really got saved, we'd think it would be a very strange thing. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus is still in the saving business. Praise God. He's never got out of that business. The day that he was crucified on the cross, was buried and raised again, he's always been in the saving business. Praise God. And he always will. But we see a strange place here where they took this man and were bringing him to Jesus. What was the Lord doing? First of all, we see a strange preaching going on. The Bible said in verse 17, and he was teaching, and the Pharisees and the doctors of law were sitting by. What a strange time that was for the Lord to be teaching and preaching there in that house. What a strange thing it was for them to bring that man through the roof to get him to Jesus. When we think about strange preaching, I like preaching. I like all preaching. I like good preaching. Praise God for good preaching. I like bad preaching. If I didn't like bad preaching, I wouldn't like any of mine. So I like bad preaching as well. But we see here the greatest preacher that ever preached. He was preaching to get these doctors of the law and the Pharisees under the Word of God. Now listen to me. If you'll notice something here, the Lord's message was very personal. We don't want any personal preaching today. Amen. We don't want anybody personally preaching to us. It's all right if I preach to somebody else, but don't preach personally to you. But did you know God has put us in a personal ministry? Preaching the gospel to every creature. And if we're going to preach, it must be personal. We must personally, first of all, get into it. Then we must personally deliver it like he's given it to us, to you personally, where you can receive it like you are. I like it, don't you? Jesus preached, he preached personally to people. He preached pointed to people. We don't like pointed preaching. You know what kind of preaching we like tonight? Generalized preaching. We don't like anybody preaching against our sins. Just generalize everything. I've told this before. I heard a young preacher preaching one time in a camp meeting. He preached right before I preached. And he got talking about tithing. He was a pastor of the church. He said, now when I'm going to preach on tithing, I don't want to know who tithes and who doesn't. He said, I want to load my gun up with a bird shot where I can scatter it and hit the whole congregation. That sounded good till I got thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, I thought while we took a break, I said, Lord, I wouldn't want to hurt somebody who tithes. Why in the world would I want to shoot somebody who tithes? So I said in my preaching that night, I said, I'll tell you right now, when I preach on tithing, when I pastor the church, I want to know everybody who tithes and who didn't tithe. In fact, I'm going to know who tithes because I don't want a non-tither taking up God's money. First of all, amen? If he'll steal from God, he'll steal from the church. So I don't want a non-tither handling the money of God. And by the way, when we're talking about tithers and non-tithers, who wants to injure somebody living for the Lord? When I want to preach on tithing, when I pastor the church, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to put a scope on my rifle. I want that hairline hooked on that non-tither. And I want to pull that trigger and hit him or her right in that heart and bring them under conviction about stealing from the Lord. Y'all listen to me tonight. We need pointed preaching. We need men like we've had today to stand and preach the pointed message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something. Jesus always unveiled the future in his preaching. He told what was going to happen. He was going to tell about prophetic things. I know you've heard me tell this. I was preaching in Cincinnati, Ohio a few years ago. And I said to him that night, tomorrow night I want you to be here. I'm preaching a prophetic message tomorrow night. Two little old grannies sitting back there visiting. When that church was over, I got standing at the door shaking hands. That one little old granny walked up to me and stuck out a hand and said, boy, I'm going to be here tomorrow night. I said, wonderful. She said, I want to hear that pathetic message. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm preaching a prophetic message tomorrow night. Yeah, I want to hear that pathetic message. I like them pathetic things. And she said, my preacher said he doesn't preach on them pathetic things. He's going to leave that to those scholars. She said, I'm glad you're going to preach on it. The next night they came and they sat on the second row. They wanted to hear every bit of that pathetic message. I got through preaching that night. We're standing out the back again, shaking hands, and that little old granny grabbed me and wrapped both of her hands around my hand, began to shake it. She said, boy, preacher, I'm going to tell you something tonight. That was the best pathetic message I ever heard. I was so confused, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know it was good or just a bad, pathetic thing, amen? But I'm telling you, Jesus always unveiled the future. Do you know something tonight? Every prophecy that God has promised, everything he has predicted, will come to pass. Some has already been fulfilled, some are being fulfilled, and some are going to be fulfilled. Now, our country's in a bad shape, but it's not taking the Lord by surprise. Don't you know he knows who's in office? Don't you know he knows who to put up there to bring everything to pass? And by the way, what right does America have to gripe? They've ruined God out of everything. We've kicked him out of the educational system. We've kicked him out of the courthouses. We kicked him out of the sporting event. We kicked him out of everything. But praise God, he still shows up. Hallelujah. He just shows up anyhow. Hey, amen. I got an email from a friend of mine about this coach in Arkansas. He wrote ABC, I believe it was ABC. The coach's name is Jim Nugent. And he wrote about that TV program, The Promise, something anyhow, where they were agging on homosexuality. And he just laid it out, and they responded to him, him being behind time and everything else. I don't care how much they try to run God out, somebody's going to show up with him. Somebody's going to testify somewhere for him. Isn't it wonderful tonight? Thank God that he's chosen a few people way up here in the Garden of Eden that's going to be a witness for the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? God has chosen some old boy from the Philippines to go to China. Isn't it wonderful? God has chosen an old Macon, Georgia boy and go send him out to the mission field filling in. Isn't it wonderful? God took an old West Virginia boy and put him up in Pennsylvania. Isn't it wonderful? God took an old Canadian and brought him down here, and Brother O stands and preaches and testifies for the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to show up somehow. Doesn't matter. Hey, you try to run him out. You try to kill him. He won't die. How you going to kill him? Oh, S.M. Lockridge said, that great old black preacher said, how you going to kill the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't drown him. He'll walk on water. You can't burn him. He'll refuse to burn. He said, hey, you hear that still small voice? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord is still on the throne regardless how much we try to dethrone him. I've thought about his preaching, strange preaching. Look in a parallel scripture. Turn back to Mark chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible said, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Not so much as about the door, but he preached the word unto them. You know, all we have tonight is the word. We don't have our philosophy to preach. We're not to preach all these things. We're to preach the word. I like what Brother Fellows said about that, don't you? Praise God, he said, preach the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. Amen? So that's who we're to preach. Him. And the Lord said, it's a strange thing that what has taken place here, that they broke open that roof to bring that man through the tiling of the roof to let him get to where he was at. Man, in verse number 18, notice, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. Then they sought by means what to bring him in and to lay him before him. I thought about number 2. Not only the preaching was strange, but the power was strange. Do you know why it's such strange power? Deliverance can only come through the supernatural. Now, hey, if we have any power, it's his power. Deliverance can come only through the supernatural. And by the way, every time he preached, it was demonstrated in every preaching service. Every time the Lord preached, there was a power of God in that place. He done everything because he was a supernatural one. Hey, thank God, he's all powerful. I like it, don't you? And by the way, that preaching was always deeply appreciated by those who received it. I don't know about you. I'm glad you got saved. But I'm so appreciative for what he's done in my heart. Amen. My life was awful. I was terrible. I've been a problem child all my life. In and out, you know, in trouble, out of trouble, in trouble, out of trouble. In the town I lived, when the trouble came, policemen came to my house, they knew I was in it or knew all about it. Pitiful, ain't it, to have that testimony. At the age of 17, I asked my dad, could I join the United States paratroopers? Would he sign for me? Oh, he didn't miss that opportunity to get rid of me. Signed it real quick. I was tired of taking orders. What a mistake I made. When that bus pulled into Fort Jackson, South Carolina on Tank Hill, Sergeant James S. Knox talked to us like we were less than humans. Lord have mercy, I knew I'd done messed up. What I'm saying to you is a 17-year-old boy thrown in the midst of seasoned sinners. And I learned well. I'm so thankful tonight. I'm so thankful tonight that when he touched me, I didn't know. Y'all heard me give a little bit of my testimony. I don't think I've given it a whole length. That every any time I couldn't do it, it takes too long. But I'm telling you, I didn't know Bible terminology. I wasn't a church boy. I didn't know what conviction meant. I didn't know regeneration. I didn't know all that stuff. All I know is that night I sat in the pew and that preacher preached and somebody messed with me. I didn't know it was conviction. But Burdick, I just know somebody messed with me. That I didn't know how to mess with back. Most of us was like that. You mess with me, I'd mess with you back. I tried not to get even. I tried to get ahead. But that night, something happened. And for 3 long months, I was under that. Got worse. When I finally got saved, praise God, praise God, it was strange power. When I stepped out of that pew that night and walked down that aisle, but yeah, I didn't know old Andy Asbel by name then. Oh, Andy Asbel met me at the altar and said, what'd you come forward for? I said, to get saved. He said, get down. I just fell down. I'm glad he didn't tell me to stand on my head. I'd have tried it. I'm all messed up. I'm going to tell you something, what I strongly believe tonight. If you don't get all messed up, you can't get saved. You heard that old song, I'm glad I got lost so I could be found. Amen. I'm a strong believer. If you ever get all messed up through strange preaching, if you get all messed up, I'll tell you something. When the Lord does something and takes that mess out of your heart and puts something new on the inside, you won't ever forget it. I got saved April 27, 1968, and I've never doubted it for 1 minute. Not 1 second have I ever doubted getting saved. I've doubted why he would save somebody like me, but I've never doubted that he saved me. But fellas, you heard me say when I got home that night, when I got home after I got out of church, after I knew something had taken place, I didn't know what all transpired. I just knew everything that was messed up was fixed. That's all I know. I didn't know Bible words. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know God had a John in the Bible. But all I know, that night, what was really messed up got fixed. Brother Leatherman, when I got home that night, after I had taken my shower and got ready for bed. I knelt down beside my bed, something I'd never done before in 33 years. Something I had never done. I knelt down beside my bed. I said, Lord, I don't know how to talk to you. I've never talked to you but one time. That was while I go in church. And I asked you to save me, and you did. I said, now, Lord, here I am. I don't know what all happened to me. But Lord, here I am. Anything you want to do to me, just do it. Amen. I said, I didn't get the second blessing of salvation. Amen. You get the full dose when you get saved. Amen. Ain't no seconds. Just first. The seconds on filling. F-I-L-L-I-N-G, but just once on salvation. And when I got up off my knees that night beside my bed, I got the best end of the deal. Amen. God messed with me for a year, and then called me to preach. I'd been out of school a long time. God sent me off to Tennessee Temple. It was a good school then. I don't even recommend a hound dog to go there now. But it was a good school then. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for what he's done for that strange preaching. Amen. Amen. Look at the power was strange in verse number 20. When he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. I thought about the preaching was strange and the power was strange, but the personal work was strange too. Look back with me in verse 18 and verse 19. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Praise God, I thought that said 14. It said 9:10. Amen. I got plenty of time. Do you? I thought about the personal work was strange. It was difficult getting this man, the sick man, to the Lord. Have you ever thought about them bringing that man up to the door of the house and it being packed and they could not let him in because of the multitude? In the modern day time in which we live, we would have taken that man and gone away from the house. You know why? We don't have burdens like these men had. We used to have strong burdens. I'm saying it was a difficult thing getting this sick man to the Lord. It was also a dangerous thing to get him to the Lord. You know what they did? They had such a burden in their heart when the place was so filled with people, the multitude. They had a burden on the inside of them. They would not let them go away. They sought means on what to do to bring him in to the Lord. And the only way they figured out was to open up the tiling of the house, the roof of the house, and let him in. I thought that was wonderful. And they brought him in. Notice something. They were determined at any cost to finish the task. We used to have burdens similar to that. You know the hardest thing doing an average Baptist church tonight? Organized visitation. You know why? No burdens. I remember a time a few years ago, you'd preach like Brother Seymour, Brother John, Brother Don, the altar would have been packed with people weeping and seeking God on their loved ones and crying out for the people they work with and their friends and their foes. They would shed tears upon the altar. We don't care anymore. In fact, we act like we don't care if everybody dies and goes to hell. But these men had a burden. These men couldn't get away with walking away. They went up on that housetop, as dangerous as it was. They were determined. And they opened up that roof and let that man down in the presence of the Lord. And I like what the Lord said to him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." But he said something before then. When he saw their faith, we always argue about salvation. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I don't tiptoe in the tulip. I believe it's a whosoever will gospel. I believe anybody under conviction can get saved by the grace of God. But this man did nothing to get saved. Those men that brought him in, the Lord said, when he saw their faith, I believe sometimes God may save people because of our faith. I had a man that grabbed me one time by the foot and said, "Thank you, preacher, for saving me." Yeah. I just laughed like that and walked off. Until I got to studying this. Amen? I wonder how many the Lord has saved because of your faith and my faith. You know, listen to me tonight. Here were some men with a burden in their heart. It didn't matter what it took to get the man with a palsy to where the presence of the Lord was. They had a burden. They wanted that man healed. And I believe the reason a lot of times you have unanswered prayers and I have unanswered prayers, we don't see the move of God like we ought to see the move of God, is simply because we do not come with a burden in our heart and lay it out before the Lord. What happened to the independent movement? I'll tell you what happened to it. We dropped the ball. In fact, we have thrown the ball down. Didn't quite now. Y'all with me tonight? Yeah, the pardon was strange. The curse of sin was removed by Christ alone. Amen. I know those men, when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." They were the recipients of the blessings of God to see God exercise his faith, their faith, on saving that man. I like it, don't you? I thought about that man laying on that bed. He didn't reject it. He didn't refuse it. That tells me that a cure can only come to the cooperating sinner. He didn't run off from it, amen? You know what I like about it? Hey, it was for that crime was forgiven for time and eternity. Thank God, can I stop a minute and have a recess? Thank God Almighty, it's forever. Thank God Almighty, we'll never burn in the depths of the charbroils of hell because God saved us for all eternity. Once saved, always saved. You no more get unsaved than a chicken can unlay an egg. Praise God for salvation, full and free. I'm glad I'm free. I like what Martin Luther King did say. Free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last. I'm a free person. Amen. Now I know I'm in bondage to the world, but I'm free in my heart. Y'all with me tonight? I said, hey, and then notice something else. Look in verse 21. Give me a few more minutes and I'll be through, okay? Okay? Whew. Getting worried. I thought I had to quit then. Oh, y'all help me out a little bit. Notice in verse 21, the people were strange. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your heart? I thought about, you know, a lot of people think about when Jesus was born on planet Earth, that he laid down all of his attributes and his divinity. But when the occasion arose, Lord exercised his attributes. Notice what he said in verse number 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts. Now look at me. I don't know what you're thinking. Sometimes I look at that and I think somebody's thinking something. Well, I saw a man one night stick his tongue out at me while I was preaching. I know what he was thinking a little bit. But we really don't know what you're thinking. But when the Lord, to these men, said, what perceived in your heart are your thoughts? And what reason you in your heart? He knew what they were thinking. That is a divine attribute of God alone. You and I can only think we know what somebody's thinking. He knew. I'm telling you, when you stop and think about what God done here, you see, in this people were strange. Some received, some rejected, because some believed and some doubted. Some talked while others listened. I like it, don't you? Then the place was strange. Notice Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised about that he was in the house. I thought about three things. Number one, to find a home where Christ is an honored guest. Isn't it wonderful to go to God's house when he's at home? Amen. And to find, number two, to find an overflow crowd in the home, having a service of the Lord. Number three, to find a place in a home where people are literally being saved. That's an unusual commodity now. Now, it's not that Jesus is not saving like he used to. It's that you and I are not trying to get them in like we used to. Amen. I like it myself. I don't know about you. I said the then notice the last thing tonight, the paralytic healing was strange. Look in verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear saying, we have seen strange things today. He came in a sinner, went out saved. Amen. Notice something else. He came in on a bed and went out with the bed on him. He came in shaking and went out shouting. Bible said, and he glorified God going to his own house. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know. But it may have been, hallelujah, Thank God Almighty. Hallelujah. Redeemed. Is that not glorifying God? Hallelujah, I'm saved. Glory to God. Think about the marvelous work He just done inside. No, I believe He's more excited than that. Because that next verse verifies it. They were all amazed. And they all glorified God. They all had fear on them. I believe the whole crowd got wild. I believe everybody around the house when God had done that marvelous work began to say, hallelujah. Look what the Lord done. You know what we do in the average Baptist church tonight? You let somebody come down here and get saved. And the pastor says, come by now. Give the right hand of fellowship. Three-fourths of the congregation go out the door without saying anything. You're not glorifying God over a sinner getting saved. Amen. Strange things goes on when we're obedient to the Lord. I like it, don't you? Now listen to me just a minute. The power of the Lord is very unusual. And nobody has a monopoly on it. He'll give it to anybody. Whoever is willing to be submissive and obedient unto Him. The Bible talks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit does not come without obedience unto the Lord. And we'll never see the power of the Lord until we're obedient to God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I want 2012 in my life to be the most powerful life in the Lord Jesus Christ that I've had. I want to be more surrendered to Him. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God that I might do the work of God to glorify Him and to magnify Him. I want to promise Him that whenever He nudges me, I want to do what He wants me to do. Whether it's to witness, to preach, or shout. I want to do it. I said I'm a candidate tonight for anything that the Lord wants. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you really would like to have the power of Almighty God in your life for living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you hold your hand up unashamedly? Thank you. Thank you. Those who didn't raise your hand, don't worry about it. You won't get it. Just don't worry about it. You won't get nothing. I promise you. But if you really are serious about the power of God in your life, in living for the Lord, and be a witness for the Lord, and if you really meant it when you flipped up that hand, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you slip on out and come to the altar right now? Would you just come on to the altar right now? If you really meant business with God, if you were serious with the Lord, I don't know about you, but Lord, help me to be some of those men who had that burden to let that man down through the tiling of the roof. What I'm saying, why don't we ask God tonight to help us to be determined to finish the task at any cost. God, help us tonight. I don't know about you, but I want something to break out, don't you? I want the Lord to do something in our hearts and lives. Our Father, as we bow tonight in your presence, thank you for your divine goodness towards us. Lord, for the work of justification and redemption in our hearts and lives. Lord, we again surrender our hearts afresh to you. Dedicate ourselves to you. Lord, that we might be used of you. Help us, oh God, to be full of the Spirit of God by being obedient to everything you tell us to do. Take this group of people here tonight at this altar, on this platform, every person who's kneeling and praying and seeking your face for the power of God, I pray you'll do it, Lord. I pray you'll do something tonight in this place, that this place will never be the same again. For the glory of God. Lord, have your divine way now. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Foote, you come.